The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James, chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the earth and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 11. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. My maternal grandmother was an accomplished person, a superintendent of schools, a department director for the state of Washington, and a member of the governor's cabinet. In an era when women typically didn't hold jobs like that. But in her 70s, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Her decline was rapid, but not as rapid as my grandfather's, who was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. My grandmother was still alive when my grandfather died. In the afternoon of the funeral, I was sitting next to her in the church, along with one of my sisters, waiting for things to begin. My grandma had been almost completely nonverbal in the months leading up to this. But in a miraculous moment of lucidity, she turned to look at us and said with perfect clarity, "Everything has changed now, hasn't it?" I tell that story because of our season of Advent readings today. Address those for whom everything has changed. They speak a promise to those who've suffered loss, a promise for those who are despairing, for those who are afraid. What kind of a promise? Look at Isaiah 35 that Bob just read. Isaiah lived when the Jewish kingdom had been divided in two, the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. As a very young man in 722 BC, Isaiah was alive to see the northern kingdom conquered by the Assyrians. He observed firsthand the brutality and despair. In the southern kingdom, where Isaiah lived, he witnessed a gradual decline as the people and their kings turned away from God. Isaiah prophesied the inevitable destruction of the southern kingdom by the Babylonians, which happened later in 586 BC. But Isaiah also prophesied about what was to come after that, and what he had to say was almost incomprehensible. God will come and save you. He will come down and save us? And the prophecy didn't stop there. Jesus described a scenario where everything was flip-flopped, reversed. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. It was a prophecy of the work of Christ, who is God, and who will come down and save us, the long-awaited Messiah. In the midst of the very worst of times, Isaiah promised a future full of gladness and joy. Despite what you see, despite what you feel, despite what you have endured, the ending is better than you can imagine. Let's take a look at our gospel lesson. Before the era of the celebrity, John the Baptist was a celebrity. He went viral before it was even possible to go viral. In Matthew 3, it says that people were pouring out of Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judea to come and be baptized by John, to repent of their sin, and certainly to also see this guy dressed in camel's hair eating bugs and wild honey. Some thought John the Baptist was the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. But John the Baptist himself insisted he was not, that he was merely the voice crying in the wilderness, the voice Isaiah had prophesied about, the forerunner of the Christ. But in his day, during his moment of fame, John the Baptist was a phenomena, a household name. He was the object of great curiosity. He was feared, adored, and hated. Everyone had an opinion about him. But as John himself said, Christ must increase, and I must decrease. And John did decrease. After criticizing King Herod for taking his brother's wife for himself, John the Baptist was arrested by Herod and thrown into prison, where he sat and sat and sat, which is where our story picks up here in our gospel lesson. Everybody has their breaking point, even John the Baptist. And after many months in prison, John the Baptist reached his breaking point. Back in his glory days, John the Baptist had pointed to Jesus and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John had a front row seat when he baptized Jesus, and the dove alighted upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven was heard to say, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist had vigorously denied that he himself was the Christ and insisted just as vigorously that Jesus was the Christ. But now, he had doubts. If Jesus is the Christ, and I am the prophet preparing his way, then why is this happening to me? Why am I punished for speaking truth to a godless king? Why am I left in this stinking hellhole to rot? If Jesus is the Christ, then why isn't my life better instead of worse? John wanted answers. So he sent emissaries to speak to Jesus and ask him, "Are you really the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?" Jesus answered John by quoting Isaiah 35. "Go and tell John what's happening. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. All the prophecies are coming to pass." Jesus' point to John the Baptist being, "I am indeed the Messiah. And though you are suffering unjustly, the day is coming when all the promises of God will come true in your experience as well. The ending is better than you can imagine." And the real ending for John the Baptist was not his death, his beheading, which occurred later in Herod's prison cell. His wonderful ending was the promised celebration in heaven that came after death. You know, after the meeting with emissaries from John the Baptist, Jesus made an interesting comment. He said, "Truly I say to you, among those born to women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." John the Baptist was known throughout Israel for his own personal righteousness, and Jesus commended him. Yet to enter the kingdom of heaven, our personal righteousness, even John the Baptist's personal righteousness, is grossly inadequate. We enter the kingdom of heaven because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, credited to us as if it's our own. That's why the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Read Romans 5. One more look at that Isaiah passage. In verse 8, it refers to the way of holiness, and it says, "The unclean shall not pass over it." Well, for you who see yourselves clearly, this does not sound like good news because you recognize your uncleanness. But keep reading in Isaiah 35 because verse 9 and 10 define more clearly who shall walk on the highway of holiness. It's not the clean and the perfect. It's the redeemed, those who've been saved from death. It's the ransomed, those who've been purchased by the blood of Christ. That's you. And the promise to you, the redeemed and the ransomed, who have suffered loss, you who are despairing, you who are afraid, the promise to you is that someday everything is restored. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap for joy. Someday everything changes for the best. The dead will live. The crazy will be lucid. The sick will be well. The despairing will weep for joy. Those whom you love will be safe forever. And every tear will be wiped from your face. That's the promise. Christ is coming. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good news coming of Christ 2,000 years ago and his coming again. Lord, help us to hang on to the promise. Just as if we were John the Baptist thrown in prison, help us to hang on to the promise that everything will be reversed. And Lord, help us to recognize the magnitude of the gift that you have given us, the promise of eternal life. And cause us to be filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.